Hello and welcome to the M2M podcast. I'm Paul Yeager. This week, we are looking at COVID-19. We're not going to be talking about symptoms or how to contain yourself, but we are going to talk about two different people that are what they're doing about COVID-19 as it spreads across the United States. Naomi Bloom and Matt Bennett were scheduled to be on Friday's episode of Market to Market. However, in light of two positive cases in the home county of Naomi Bloom, where she lives, she declined our invitation and decided to stay in her county and not bring, if she is, and not saying that she is, any virus with her from Wisconsin to Iowa and that we would spread. Matt Bennett, one of our newer market-to-market analysts, was already on the road this week and will explain kind of his travel pattern, what he was finding in both Kansas, Nebraska, and Iowa before he got to Central Iowa to tape the show. So this week, you're going to hear from Naomi Bloom in just a moment. She is going to talk about the feelings that are going on in her community, what is being done in that community, and then she's going to discuss a little bit about the markets, because I asked both Matt and Naomi, kind of, you know, what's this coronavirus, COVID-19, having as an impact on the commodity markets? We've seen what it's done to the equities, but what's happening for commodities and what's moving ahead in the future? So first, here is Naomi Bloom.
Hey, greetings from Wisconsin, where we now, as of Thursday afternoon, the 12th of March, have 8 confirmed cases of coronavirus. The governor of our state has declared a health emergency. And 2 of those cases are confirmed in the county that I live in. And so, as precaution, I decided to not travel to market this week, just in case, by some chance, I was a carrier of the coronavirus. The people who have been confirmed in our community had actually been walking around for a week without knowing that they were carriers of the virus. So there's a pretty good chance that the spread is going to be larger than anticipated. The feel of our community right now is that a lot of people are confused. A lot of people are angry. A lot of people feel that we are overreacting. Some are panicking. Like many places throughout the country, our stores are out of toilet paper. Our stores are out of Lysol wipes. And it just feels like when people are uncertain, they focus on the little things that they can control and any effort that they control. So in this case, it happens to be small bits of shopping just in case we're quarantined. The schools are still trying to figure out when to close. A lot of the universities have already closed and they're going to be doing online learning for the rest of the semester. I think a lot of the high schools in the area are trying to figure out if that's the same path that they're going to be going on as well. As far as life goes here, you know, anytime you have a little ache or pain or a tinge of a sore throat or a headache, you wonder if maybe you're infected or it's just life happening. Looking over at the markets and how things have been trading and how things have been reacting, it's been panic selling, and no sector is safe right now. Stock market has been falling all week with a recovery bounce on Friday here, the 13th, but the commodity markets are down hard with the hog market trading limit down, the cattle market trading limit down, feeder cattle down limit on extended limits. So the reaction is overextended. The funds are selling. The funds are going to continue to sell for as long as they can and take advantage of this until cooler heads can prevail. And when might that be? It's hard to say. We'll see if the president's speech this afternoon has anything that we can sink our teeth into. But if you look at how coronavirus is spreading around the world, it seems like in the United States, we're going to be dealing with this for another month. So what can we be doing about it as producers? A lot of producers have already been hedging, meaning selling futures contracts or doing what they can to lock in grain prices to protect against a further sell-off. But you know darn well that at some point there will be a low to all of this. And I think we're going to see one of our biggest customers step up to the plate pretty darn quick and maybe buy all the things that they said that they were going to buy in the phase one deal. But of course, it'll be conveniently on sale for them at that time. So keep in mind, markets, of course, overreact. The fear selling is there. But now I think if we look down the road and think down the road as far as how low things could go, we're going to see if there's a ripple effect that will continue throughout not only just my community, but throughout the state and throughout the country, as the world, in terms of production on products and widgets and agricultural, is anything going to be coming to a halt or just a slowdown? So those are answers that we don't know right now, but those are things that we're thinking about. If you have any questions, you're always welcome to reach out to me. Again, this is Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing.
Thank you, Naomi, for sending us that. We greatly appreciate that, and we hope everything works out well there and things are contained. And now here is our conversation with Matt Bennett. Well, Naomi actually tweeted something. She says, "Hey, market-to-market friends, sad to say I will not be on the show this weekend due to COVID-19 concerns in Fond du Lac County." So she bought milk, 9 gallons worth, Matt, and Matt Bennett joins us now. Matt was supposed to be on the show with Naomi. First off, you two, this is going to be the first time you were on this show together. You two know each other a little bit. You've been on panels, my understanding.
Yeah, we've been on panels together. You know, we both ultimately broker through ADM Investor Services, so we've seen each other, you know, at their annual brokerage meetings. We've had, you know, we broke bread together. You know, we've had a lot of fun together. We're really good friends, though. And so whenever I heard that she wouldn't be coming and that she might not be feeling that good, you know, I sent her a text and said, "Hey, I just want to check on you." And so we were able to catch up a little bit again there yesterday. But bottom line, she's a really good friend.
And you, let's explain your week. You're in Central Illinois, but that's not where you originated from this week. Where have you been?
I've been all over. And so, you know, I had a grower who wanted to meet with me around one of my meetings whenever I would go to Kansas. And so I'm a pretty large-scale grower, that pretty good client of mine. And so I flew into Garden City. You know, in the plane rides, I went into Dallas and then Dallas to Garden City. I will say, whenever I got into Dallas, I went a few gates over and I sat by myself. I didn't talk to anybody and I didn't get close to anybody. I didn't go eat. I was just basically following my wife's advice, and I had hand sanitizer everywhere I went. So both flights were fairly sparse. I got into Garden City, and I drove down to Liberal. Quite frankly, the dry down there, they're actually working some ground and doing some strip till. And then I got into Manhattan, Kansas, and they had announced that morning that Kansas State, you know, was suspending classes. And the guy came in that was working for Kansas State and said, "I'm glad you're having this meeting today, because if it would have been tomorrow, we wouldn't have had the meeting." And they had a really nice turnout. So I was there, and then I spoke in Anthon, Iowa. So that's north of Omaha, maybe an hour and a half. Kind of out in the middle of nowhere, pretty neat little place, and had a heck of a crowd there, and went in there and I talked last night. So I've kind of been all over, a lot of driving.
You had said the Manhattan meeting was supposed to be maybe about 80 and was about 40?
Yeah, it was actually more than 100, I think, that they had RSVP'd, and there was maybe 40 or 50 there. And so typically, they get a really good turnout. It was right there at their new agronomy center, so a lot of the guys would have and gals would have liked to seen that. And so they knew that there's probably a little bit of hesitancy just getting out and about with what's going on. Obviously, this world's changing about every 5 to 10 minutes now.
It is, and you're in the car when you're headed around Omaha. And when in our previous discussions, I do a lot of the booking of the analysts and work out the schedule, and you had said, "Yeah, I'm going." I initially thought you were going to Omaha and had just a little bit of a catch moment of, but you were basically driving around it.
Yes, basically driving around it. I didn't stop there. You know, I've been trying to avoid trouble as much as possible. And then drove up 29 and then got off and went up there into Anthon. So, you know, like I was telling you earlier, I mean, heck, I haven't even shaken anybody's hand this week. I told them, you know, I don't want to be that guy. And I'm a very cordial person. In fact, I'm liable to pat you on the back whenever I shake your hand, too. But this week, I'm doing knuckles at the very most and a little bit of these elbow deals, which I think is kind of cool. Corny, but I'd rather take corny than taking something home too.
Well, and we appreciate you coming in, and you know, the line is out of abundance of caution. I mean, in Iowa we don't have these cases, but I frankly had to do my due diligence and ask, where have you been? Not just so we know. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things, and I hope you didn't take any offense to that.
Not whatsoever. I totally understand it, and you know, we're super careful at home too. You know, we've had some issues with we had E. coli, we had an HUS infection that went along with the E. coli whenever our daughter was 2, and a lot of people that follow me follow that along, and they know exactly why I'm so hesitant. And so I've actually kind of suspended the rest of my public appearances until further notice.
And that, I don't think you're going to be alone in that.
No, I just don't think that it's worth it, especially if you've got someone in your household that was potentially compromised. It's just, it's probably not the most, disciplined decision.
We're recording this prior to your appearance on Market to Market, and I'm going to ask you on the show. And so if you've watched the show, you know how this answer is. But give me just a little taste of what is the – I mean, we see the equity markets and the commodity markets not usually tied to one another. They've gone down, commodity markets. We know the equity markets have gone down, but not in the same percentage. I mean, we've had our brutal times, but right. What's the correlation between the two?
You know, a lot of times there is a flight to safety to commodities whenever you see, for instance, the Dow plummet. Have we seen that? You know, a flight to safety also into the gold market. Boy, don't look at the gold market on Friday. Mercy sakes, it just got beat like a rented mule. But, typically that's what you see as a flight to safety for commodities as people pull money out of, for instance, the Dow, S&P, you name it. But we're not seeing that like we would typically see it. I think that there's a lot of folks that are saying, listen, I'm going to kind of pull some money off the table. I'm going to take risk off the table. What we're hearing a little bit today, as far as Friday is concerned, what I was hearing on Friday is that some people are just trying to maintain their portfolio. And so they're exiting anything else that they were in to maintain their 401k, because obviously they know if they're going to be pulling stuff out, they're going to be paying some tax.
Right. And then we have to think about that. And there's been tax bills and parts of legislation in the House and working with the White House, trying to figure out what's the best economic policy. Commodities, though, right now, we have been talking about it. I probably need to go back and look. The first time we mentioned coronavirus was turn of the year. In fact, I think you were on the show close, maybe when you were first on. We hadn't talked about it yet, but we were getting close to as it was working its way through Asia. And now we're starting to see China come out of their peak time, but yet we're still seeing low times in commodities. Is that other factors? Corona factor.
Boy, there's a lot going on. And so I guess whenever I've gone out and talked markets, I've told people, you know, the grain markets simply haven't seen the light of day. I mean, every time we turn around and think, hey, we might be able to build some momentum. For instance, phase one gets passed and we think, hey, you know, we can't do anything until they actually start purchasing. They got to get the licensing done. They got to be dropping some tariffs. Anytime we see anything like that happen, then we hit another roadblock, you know. And so obviously the latest thing is coronavirus. You and I both know that from a mortality standpoint, it pales in comparison to something like the flu, as we know it. But at the same time, the infectious nature of it just scares the heck out of everyone whenever you look at things like demand. And so, you know, whenever I look at, for instance, Hong Kong, you look at average visitors per day before February 1st, we're running around 220,000. It dipped to 3,000 per day in the month of February. What's that due to demand? You know, and so we all know people are still going to eat. I mean, I've told people, China's still got over 1.4 billion people. They got to eat every day. And guess what? Their diet over the last 20, 30 years continues to improve. The more money that they get in their pocket, the more that they're eating. And so I fully expect we are going to rebound. The problem is no one really knows exactly how we're going to come out of this, because this is unprecedented territory with this particular disease, of course.
And you say 20 to 30 years they've been improving their diet, but their last 20 to 30 days is a pent up, I need to eat something, I want that pork back.
Right.
I mean, is that a fair statement?
Yes. And we know darn good and well, whenever they get the opportunity, it's going to be time to go. Now, obviously, it's had a short-term impact on demand that wasn't exactly great. We know with ASF, though, obviously, there was reduced supplies. You've got ships sitting at their port that were having a heck of a time getting unloaded. And so, to be honest, I guess there are some ways that them being pent up at home, I guess, maybe wasn't the absolute end of the world. But bottom line, I think long run, and you know darn good and well that their diet. So whenever you take someone from a bland diet to a more protein-rich diet, you can't take them back. I mean, you might get them for a month or two because they have to, because it's a communist country and they can affect things like that. But you're sure as heck not going to see anything but a political revolt if you try to take them back to the bland diet in the long run.
All right. I appreciate you coming in and giving us a little extra insight. And I know this has been the last 2-5 years just unprecedented, trying to navigate some things that you never thought you could study for or have experience to pull from. Just before I came to meet you at the door, there was a chart about suspended trading days that have happened in the history of the United States. And you look at those events, they are world events that are taught around the globe, we're talking JFK assassination, we're talking 9/11, we're talking other things of that nature. I mean, this is, you can't say, well, I remember. You and I can say, oh, we remember what it was like after 9/11.
Right.
But it's those other days that we still don't 100% know how this all plays out moving forward.
Right. And I mean, we are in an era, fortunately, in some ways, I guess. And some people would say it's unfortunate, others, but where we know information rapidly. And we all know what's going on out there. No one can predict what's going to happen from this point forward. But it is kind of good as far as a public health standpoint that we're able to get information very quickly. What are we going to do, though, with a situation like this moving forward? I think it's going to change people's mindsets and perceptions. I know that, you know, for instance, when we had our issue at home, before that issue, we called my wife a germaphobe. And nobody in my family calls her a germaphobe anymore. And I think that a lot of folks are maybe getting a little bit of a gut check here we're going to change the way that we're doing things somewhat. But my presentations lately have just been tough. I mean, they've been really tough. They've been very sobering. And you'd say six years in a row that the U.S. ag sector has actually lost a little bit of money on average across the board. It's been very important to be diversified and have off-farm income. And when you go out and talk markets right now, that's a tough presentation to give. And I've just been trying to encourage folks, we have to be able to think proactively, think ahead of time. What kind of competition do you have from South America with the Real continuing to do what it does? This is a tough environment we're in, and we better be darn ready to go for it, because this isn't the same environment that that we've seen even over the last 5 years. I think it could get even tougher.
Well, I was going to have you back. I was about to invite you and say, come on back, Matt. That'll be great anytime. But we will have you back to introduce people to you, a little more of that background, talk about your family life. But I appreciate you taking time here, and I'm going to give you an air fist bump across the table. We'll call it good.
Yep.
All right, Matt, thank you.
Thank you.
My thanks to Matt Bennett and Naomi Bloom for listening. If you have any feedback for the program, send it to us at markettomarket@iowapbs.org. This is a podcast released each and every Tuesday as part of the Market to Market TV show. Again, feedback, markettomarket@iowapbs.org. I'm Paul Yeager. Thanks for listening.